First off, let's weigh in. What do you think of the coat? Come on. Beautiful, right? Hey, I'm so glad you guys are here. This is great. And we are celebrating an amazing event that has changed our lives. And if you don't know about that event, we're going to talk about that today. Now, we've been in a series called Faith Heroes. We've been looking at different heroes in the Bible. And they're people of character. They're people that made, they're difference makers. Really, they changed the world because God worked through them. And today, in a lot of ways, they're superheroes, right? Which is perfect for our culture right now because it seems like we're obsessed with superheroes. I mean, like every movie seems like have a superhero in it. So today we're going to talk about the ultimate superhero, and what's his name? Jesus. Good. I would have been so disappointed if on Easter you couldn't think of Jesus. It's funny, I don't know if you've seen this on Facebook, but as I've kind of wandered around and looked on, I've seen this shirt keep showing up right here. There we go. It's a t-shirt that says, Jesus speaking, and that's how I saved the world. I mean, isn't that cute? You know, he's hanging out with the Hulk and Spider-Man and kind of sharing his secrets on how he saved the world. And really, if you think about Jesus, there are a lot of things about him that make him that person. I mean, he doesn't have everything, you know, as far as being a superhero. Like, he doesn't wear tights. You know, I don't know. I don't think. We don't have any record of this. I don't think he ever beat anybody up. But when you evaluate Jesus' life, there are things about his life that make him unlike any other human that ever walked the face of the earth. And we're going to start off with a little fun. I'm just going to compare Jesus a little bit, see if he measures up to what it means to be a superhero. And the first place we're going to start is, if you're a superhero, you know what you need? You need a really great theme song. Okay? So here's the way it's going to work, is I'm going to play a theme song. You could tell me who this superhero is represented by. Okay? Ready? You ready? First one. Right? I just need to hear that. That's old school. You guys know that, right? Right? It's way old school. I love it. Okay, start you up easy. Okay, next one. Do you know? It's the Avengers. Isn't that a great theme? Love that theme. Thank you. We have one nerdy person. It's Rachel, our youth director. Did you hear that? That's her ringtone. That's next level nerdy. Okay. So glad you came. Okay. Next one. Wow. That's so great. That's also old school. How old are you? He's 14? Four? You're four. Okay. You're pretty big for a 4-year-old. Oh, that's classic, John Williams. Next. Does anybody know this one? It's Wonder Woman. I know that was a little hard for you. This one will be a little bit easier for you. Ready?
Wonder Woman.
See?
Wonder Woman.
All right, we got new school, we got old school. I got one more, and I thought we would have a little fun with this one. See if you can name this superhero theme song that Ricky is going to play, right? Keep going, buddy. All right. Thank you, Ricky. I appreciate it. You're right. Iron Man. Nothing like starting off an Easter service with a little Black Sabbath. Welcome to church. So I looked up and tried to think, well, does Jesus have a theme song? So I tried to figure this out, and I went on Spotify. I don't know if any of you are on Spotify. It plays a bunch of music. And the songs were for Jesus just kept going, 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 going. I never got to the end of them. So I went and I did a Google search. And I searched Google, Jesus and songs. I got 21,400,000 hits. But I wasn't sure if that was a very accurate representation, so I went on YouTube and I typed in Jesus and song, and I got 57 million hits. Still not sure that was completely accurate, because there's a lot of things, you know, a lot of combinations. Maybe it's repeating songs or whatever. So we went on a website called CCLI. It's how we get licensing for all of our songs. And they had 41,560 songs just with Jesus in the title. But they had over 100,000 songs that were about Jesus. Okay? Now, I don't know if any of you guys ever grew up with something like this, right? Hymnal. This thing is just filled. And there's many of these, and they have amazing words about God. They also have some creepy ones, you know. There's one that starts off like this. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, which is a great song, but not super great when you brought your friend to church for the first time. Listen, in the next 24 hours, in this 24-hour period, billions of people will gather in churches and fields and middle schools and stadiums around the world to sing songs to this one person. Theme song, he has millions of songs written about him. In every conceivable language, there are songs about Jesus. How can this not be true? And let me throw this in there too. Do you know that more hospitals were built in his name? Do you know that more colleges were built in his name? Do you know that more alcoholics say they gave up alcohol in his name? No more marriages put together in his name. If we're going to start with theme song, Jesus wins hands down. Okay, let me give you another one. A great superhero has amazing powers. Superman has X-ray vision, right? Ant-Man can shrink to the size of an ant. Personally, as far as Avengers goes, he's my favorite. I'm only saying this for Rachel. She's really cares about that kind of thing. Flash can run really fast. Nerds have estimated that the Flash can run up to 13 million times the speed of light. Do you know how they have time to calculate that? None of them have girlfriends, okay? Spider-Man can spin a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Hulk, smash, that's his superpower. Batman's kind of a gray area. You know, basically Batman's rich enough to be able to create things that make it. I'm not sure if that's a superpower, but the nerds who calculated Flash's speed, they could tell us. They're amazing. And we know when we read the Bible that Jesus had amazing powers. We read stories about Jesus walking through earth, and there were people that were blind from birth and they could see. Or people who are lame that would literally come on a stretcher and leave carrying the stretcher. We know that Jesus had the power to raise people from the dead. Now, let me give you a superpower that Jesus had that separates him from everybody. Any superhero you can think of. Matthew 8, verse 6. You could follow with me, you turn in your Bible. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly. And Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I don't deserve to have you under my roof. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. And he said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. And in verse 13, Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you have believed it would. and his servant was healed at that moment. Now this distinguishes Jesus from any superhero you can think of, because they all got to be in the room. They all got to be there to shrink down to the size of an ant or to defeat the enemy. But Jesus doesn't need to be there. Now why? That's important to the centurion. Why is it important to us? Well, look, I would love to say that I would love Jesus to be here. I'd love to have him in the flesh. I'd just love to see him. But we don't need to see him for God to heal us. You know that our Jesus doesn't, he's in the room, but we don't have to see him for him to come down and heal a broken marriage. You know that Jesus can give you, without even being in the room, give you the wisdom to help you understand how to parent a stubborn kid. You know, he can help you have the wisdom to work through a financial situation. Some of you walked in this room with such stress and anxiety, and you pray to Jesus, and Jesus can be there and present with you and help put his arms around you and take care of you in ways you never even imagined. Who can do that? Let me ask, I'm just going to do this. I didn't plan on doing this. How many people have experienced a moment in your life where you knew for sure that God was with you in a difficult time? Just raise your hand. Look, it's everybody. It's crazy, right? That's the power that Jesus has. Let me give you another superpower. A great superhero overcomes incredible odds. And if you just look through every movie that you see with a superhero, they got to overcome amazing odds, you know. Spider-Man loses his parents. Batman loses his parents. Captain America just recently, I don't know if you've seen this last movie, but he fights a big, giant, red Harrison Ford. You know, there's always something Iron Man has. Is he stuck? He's trapped by terrorists. He has to use what he has to create an Iron Man suit so that he can escape. There's always something. But Jesus is the one that outlasts them all. Luke 2:24, verse 1. Jesus beat the incredible odds. On the first day of the week, Sunday morning, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They didn't expect to. They were just there. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." Look, the odds that Jesus overcame are bigger than anyone ever overcame. I heard a story about three guys, and they were talking to each other about, what do you want people to say at your funeral? You know, when people remember you. And the first guy said, "I want people to say he was a great family man." And the second guy says, "I want them to say he was a great provider." And the third guy said, "I want them at my funeral, I want them to say, look, he's moving." There was a Newsweek article about a letter written to a dead person in Greenville County, South Carolina, by the Department of Social Services. And this is what it said. "To whom it may concern, your food stamps will be stopped effective immediately because we've received notice that you're dead. May God bless you. You may reapply if there is a change in your circumstances." I don't know of a single person who's ever experienced that change in their circumstances, except this one, except this Jesus. I mean, you talk about comebacks. You talk about Tom Brady. beating the Falcons. You could talk about LeBron James beating the Warriors. And by the way, I was cheering against those people so bad. I wanted them to lose. This is the greatest comeback in the history of mankind. According to the Rasmussen Report, 77% of Americans believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. 77%. It's the greatest comeback in the history of the world. Let me just ask you this question. What if it were true? What if there was this man that has millions of songs written about him? Billions of people gathered to honor him. 77% believed the unbelievable about his resurrection. What if that was true? This is what it means for us. It means your past can be forgiven. Then that thing that you wish you had never done, that still haunts you, right? I mean, the things that we go for a walk and that we still have that regret going in our, the reason why he came down to earth to live a sinless life and die on a cross is so that he could take the punishment for that thing, not you. If this is true, that thing you carried in today, you don't need to carry anymore. You're forgiven. Your present problems can be managed. If this is true, your present problems can be your man. Your marriage can make a comeback. If Jesus can make that comeback, your marriage can make a comeback. Your relationship with your kid that is distant from you can make a comeback. Your finances can make a comeback. The God of this universe can be there with you in the room to give you the wisdom, to give you the comfort, to overcome that thing you never thought you could overcome. If the impossible can happen on a resurrection Sunday, the impossible can happen in your life. And lastly, this is the biggest one, I think. Your future is secure. Now look, man, we're all aging, right? I feel like me faster than you guys. God, man, I just look at these guys down here and I go, I just wish I had their hair, right? Their hair is amazing. Just love that. And each one of us is aging and death is going to get us. Unless this is true. Because he said it. He said, look, I'm going to go make a way for you. It's not like, hey, I'm going to do this amazing thing. Good luck to the rest of y'all. If you believe in this God, he creates a way for you to spend eternity with him, where we are put right, the earth is put right, and there are no more tears. And that pain that you feel right now is gone, and it's gone for good. Okay, I want to close with this. There's a pastor, Bishop Ken Ulmer. He tells the story of two men that were in an art gallery. And they ran across a painting. And it's called Checkmate. And I think I have a picture of that painting, right? Now, they both wandered up to it. And these two men looked at this painting. And the one guy really locked in on it. Because he was an international chess champion. Well, I don't know how you walk through a museum. Like, I walk and go, that's nice, I'm out, right? Like, go to the next picture. And the first guy wanted to just move on, but the chess champion couldn't move on. He was just locked in on this. I'm not exactly sure what it's about, although one looks like the devil. And he says, you go on. I'm gonna keep studying this. So he keeps looking at this photo, this painting, examining it. His friend finally, he's over it, he says, finally comes over to him, he says, okay, tell me what's going on. He says, I've been studying this photo and we have to find the painter, because one of two things has to happen. He's going to have to change the title of this photo, because as I've studied this, the king still has one more move. Listen, people, that's Easter. That's the hope of Easter. Because this is what happened. For 3 years, Jesus traveled around, and all he did was good. All he did was heal people. All he did was give them wisdom. All he did was pour into their life and say, look, you've been trying to live your life like this, and it has failed. I've got a way for you where you can fully thrive. And there are religious leaders that didn't like it. He wasn't speaking their language. They didn't buy into this whole thing. And as soon as Jesus healed his first person, there was a man with a shriveled hand. As soon as that man was healed, he was healed on the wrong day. So they go, we got to kill this guy. I can't even get my head around why somebody would do that. But that's what they did, because they didn't get it. He was into their stuff. He was telling them they were wrong, and they didn't like it. So for 3 years, Jesus preached, and they plotted on how to kill him. And one day, Jesus finally comes back into Jerusalem. One of his very best friends says, look, I'm tired of Jesus too. I'll sell him out for money. He gives him a kiss. They take him away. And they take this God, who all he wanted to do was love us and care for us, and they beat him, they blindfolded him, they put a crown of thorns on their head, they wrapped him like a king and mocked him and beat him some more. And then they took this God who loved us so much, and he put, just feel right here. Can you feel right here? That's where the nails went. Because if it's up here, it just rips through the hands. But right here, it holds you in place. And Jesus was nailed to a cross. While on that cross, he looked out and said, hey, forgive him. I still want to be in a relationship with him. There's a thief right next to him. Says, hey, remember me in your kingdom. And Jesus says, you got it. We're going to be with God today. And at that point, all of his enemies were saying this. It's over. That's all, folks. Our problems are done. Checkmate. And Jesus says, the king still has one more move. And on Sunday, he got out of that tomb. And he proved that he was God. He proved that he would be there for us no matter what. He proved that throughout history, when you had an issue, and it doesn't matter if it's not that big an issue, he would care about it because that's who he is. And that our God would one day bring us home. So as you're sitting there in your seat thinking, man, my family's a train wreck. My kids don't like me anymore, and I don't know what to do about it. I feel like I made all these mistakes. I'm done. And Jesus wants to say to you this, the king still has one more move. And you walked in, and your marriage is struggling, and you don't know how you can ever put it back together, and this person that vowed to love you forever doesn't like you anymore. You think, I'm done. I don't have it anymore. And let me tell you, the king still has one more move. And you come in here carrying all kinds of anxiety and worry and fear. This is the most stressed out generation ever. And you think, I'll never be able to overcome this. And Jesus says, the king still has one more move. Let me ask you a question. What is that move that you want God to make in your life today? Because we can go to a God who is the ultimate superhero, who overcame the greatest odds to prove to you that he wants to be involved in your life. So do me a favor, why don't you bow your head? As you sit here on this Easter Sunday, I want you to think about that place in your life where you need the king to make one more move. What is that? I'm guessing it didn't take long for you to think of it. Would you just go before God and say, God, would you make a move in this area of my life? You're the God that overcomes incredible odds. Would you overcome this with my family, with my money, with my marriage? God, I pray that you would make that one move in my life. I got one more thing to say to you while every head is bowed. If you have tried to run your own life and it has not gone well for you, and you realize today that there is this God in heaven who sacrificed everything for you, and maybe in a way today you've heard some things and you go, man, what if this is real? What if I can have a relationship with this God who not only can help me live my best life here, but has eternity for me? If you want to know that God, it begins like this. Just pray this in the quietness of your heart. Dear God, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of the things I wish I'd never done. I give my life to you. God, I need to come back. God, I pray you still have one more move. Come into my life. I give you control of my life. I give you the keys of the minivan of my life. And I give my life to you today. Now, if you prayed that, that begins a brand new life for you. We'd love to know about it. This church is filled with people that care about you. There's a card that says, I said yes. If you want to fill that out, and put it in the back. There's a little box that says, I said yes, or hand it to a staff person. We want to help you along that journey. Lord Jesus, I pray that today, on Easter Sunday, that you would begin a work in us. That you'd bring a, you would begin a comeback in marriages and a comeback in parenting relationships and a comeback in finances, a comeback battling depression. That you would be our God today. That you would be our superhero. In your name we pray. Amen.